for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Tuesday evening, December 27, 2011. Howard Pittman is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the Great Miracle. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
They got to see Him in you before they believe what you say. And when you're credible witness to your people behind the closed door where you live, you're credible to, as a witness to Jesus Christ to the people in your world. Your world is where you live, shop, and socialize. You have light. And that's what the enemy is after, your light. The only way you can get you to compromise. 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 Just a little today, a little tomorrow. But each time He's smudging the chimney of your light, each time you compromise, you've got to wipe that off. You got to repent. You got to repent. Get that off. Just smudge it off. Well, when I resisted the devil, now see how I got off and started preaching. I wasn't supposed to do that. When I repented, I mean, got me going there. Anyway, when I resisted the devil, he fled from me. The angels were all around me all the time. I didn't know they were there until I resisted the devil. Just like that. They took my spirit out of my body, out of darkness into light. I crossed the veil. Just like that, I was on the other side. As I came through, there before me, like a stage play being conducted before my very eyes, was a verse of Scripture actually being acted out before my very eyes. Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. Right before my eyes. I want to read it to you. Somewhere I have it. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, plural, against powers, plural, against the rulers, plural, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, plural, in high places. You hear that? You see what an enemy you got every day? Every day? Not against flesh and blood. It's not against the denomination down the street, the church over here on this side, the group over there. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not gun and bullets, knife and swords. It's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. It is a spiritual government where the warfare plans are literally being drawn up against the saints of God. They have no warfare plans against the lost, because the lost are prisoners already. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. They're prisoners already. And they can take them at will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, verse 26. But you've been set free. They got to get you by your cooperation. Hence, the wiles of the devil we have to deal with every day in our life. The wiles of the devil. That's the war. Principalities. What is a principality? It's a territory. It can be as small as one fellowship or as large as a continent. Depend on the threat to the kingdom of darkness. A principality is a territory that's ruled over by a prince. Any country that has a prince for a ruler becomes a principality. A principality. Against powers. Principality, rulers that have spiritual powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a government, a spiritual government, headed up by Satan himself. All these people that, all these beings that sit on that council are princes who rule principalities. And it is there where they conduct their plan. What's happening today was organized by that council called Satan, the God of this world. They direct what's happening into this world. right now, they have a master plan coming before your very eyes, happening before our very eyes every day, and we sit here and do nothing about it. And the only people on earth that could do something about it are those that are set free. And they don't. Why? For a lack of knowledge. We perish for a lack of knowledge. Where did knowledge go? How many sermons have you heard on the devil and his demons? Well, a lot of you probably heard more than any other folks. But very few churches you ever hear him mentioned. Ever hear him mentioned. Very few. Let me tell you, I saw this master plan in skeleton form. In other words, what I saw was just an outline. John saw the same thing when he was up there. And he wrote about it in Revelation. I saw it too. I was allowed to come back and tell you about it. Paul saw it too. But he wasn't allowed to talk about it. John was. And I was. Who knows the ways of God? Let's see what John wrote in Revelation chapter 13. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 7. Now this is, I saw this plan. I saw it in skeleton form, just the outline of it. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Wow, you hear that? You know the devil is going to overcome the saints, did you? Why? John saw it and wrote about it over 2,000 years ago. All this taking place in the last generation of time. It's happening now. Don't you know it? It's happening now. Did you know we got 22 well-known, high-powered, television-wise known ministers that have joined with the Muslims to create Chrislam? They call it Chrislam, Christians and Muslim, for the new One World Church. Do you know that? Why? Why don't you know it? Why don't you know it? You see, the world's passing you by while you're sitting there and not listening. I bet you don't even read the newspaper. That's how I keep up with the devil. Never go anywhere, don't buy a newspaper or listen to the news. And I know exactly what he's doing when I read the newspaper. Oh, it's all so bad. It is? Well, when it's so bad, you ought to do something about it, because you could. You're the only people that could. The only people. And they're doing nothing. And they're doing nothing. What does it say? Let's read the rest of it. It gets better. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 through 9. Wow. The devil's going to capture the church? I bet you've heard about the Antichrist all your life ever since you've been in church. I bet you heard about him coming with some great dictator. They thought Hitler was a... They thought Napoleon was. They thought even Ronald Reagan was. They thought everybody was in position of power. But you know what? Do you know what the Antichrist is going to take the world? How he's going to take the world? Not with a gun. Not with an army. He's going to save. He's coming as your hero. And you're going to put him in office. You're going to vote him right into the seat he's looking for. The greatest deception the world has ever known. Let's look at him in Revelation chapter 6. We're going to take a look at him when he first come on the scene. What does he look like? Revelation chapter 6, we see him. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it was a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Who was he wearing this crown? The man on the white horse. Who is the man on the white horse? Why, you can tell right off it wouldn't be a bad guy. A bad guy's never been allowed to get on the white horse. It's always the hero. He's the one that's coming to save the damsel in distress. He's got a bow in his hand. A quiver with no arrows. He got no weapon, no army behind him. He's by himself. He is the leader of the free world. How do we know this? Daniel will tell us. Chapter 8. Let's look at Daniel. chapter 8. Oh, yes. Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 8. That's a little book right after the book of Ezekiel. We come to chapter 8. We want to go to verse 22. Yes, you know. We'll go, let's see which one we'll go to. Not 22, chapter 8, verse... Daniel chapter 8. Yes, that's where I want to go, chapter 8. And... okay, now, it's 22. Now that being broken, whereas he forced it up from the kingdom, shall stand up out of the nations, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressor come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. Another reference to destroying God's people. But he's going to do it wonderfully. Now, how to destroy wonderfully? In such a manner you don't know you're being destroyed. You literally think you're being helped. Oh, thank you, thank you. He's coming. What weapon is he going to use? You pray for it almost daily. Verse 25. And through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand and magnify himself in his heart. And by peace he shall destroy many. He shall stand up against the principality. By peace and prosperity is the weapon he captures the church with and the world. Not with armies, not a dictator. Know what's happening about you daily. Know what's going on in the world. Read God's word. Oh, it don't mean that. It means something else. Allegory. You better believe God's word. It's coming a time you're going to have to stand before him and say, well, Lord, you didn't convince me. You're going to be convinced now that I meant what I said and said what I meant. He's exactly how he stands. You see, my friend, this is gold mine. You can't turn on that television without somebody trying to sell you some gold, huh? I can sell it to you free. I have. This is the greatest gold mine you'll ever find, you'll ever need. One way to get gold out of a mine, you got to dig it out. This is your life. Eat it every day. Every day. That's the first thing at my house in the morning when we get up and set at that table before anybody takes any physical food. We got to eat out of this Bible. Daily. Every day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Every day. This is a gold mine. The only way you're going to get that gold is dig it out. It's got to come out of this book. You read all the other books you want. I got 16 books over there I wrote. But if you get one of them, just any one of them, that don't line up 100% with this Bible, throw them all away. All away. Okay, what they say, if it ain't in here, don't you believe it. Ain't in here, don't you believe it. It's got to be in here. Because this is the word and the standard by which we go. God's word. God's word. Watching this council at work, I discovered how spiritual warfare is really fought. You see, my friends, if you are not part of the kingdom of God, you're a prisoner of Satan. There are no neutrals in this life. No matter what you think or what you believe, Jesus said it himself in the book of Matthew, you gather with me or you scatter against me. Ain't no straddling the fence with him. Oh, I'm going to think about this seriously, and I'm going to join him later. No, you're already serving the devil. When you turn him down right at that moment, you're serving the devil. Oh, you said, I don't believe he's real. Good, you serve him better. A whole lot better, you see. That's why he hides. He tries to paint himself as a cartoon character. My friend, he's the God of this world. Don't forget that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. His divine ruling magistrate, high potentate of physical time. Divine means set apart, put above. He is divine, set apart, put above. Ruling magistrate means one who has the authority to control the conduct of those under his jurisdiction. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, verse 26. High potentate, rule maker, a lawgiver. That's what he is. He's rule maker of the world. Those in the world have to obey his rule. He can force them to do it. I wrote about that in one of my books. And a lawyer from New York called me. He said, "Huh, you Howard Pittman?" I said, "Yes, sir." "You write this book, Naaman's Eyewitness Account?" I said, "I sure did." He said, "You said in here the devil can make people obey him." I said, "The devil can make the lost obey him. It's in the Bible." Well, my client killed somebody. He said the devil made him do it. He said, "Will you come up here and testify in court that the devil can make him do it?" I said, "Well, if you send me a subpoena, I have to come." He said, "I'll do it." About 2 weeks later, he called me back and says, "We can't do it, Judge. There ain't no way I'm going to open that can of worms in this court." But that's what the Bible said. Not what Howard Pittman said. Not what the Demon's Eyewitness Account said. But what God said in his word. And his word stands above all things. This is the standard you judge everything by. The standard. It's got to be judged by this. You see, Jesus said in Matthew that when he comes, in Psalms, first the prophet predicted when the Messiah comes, he will reveal mysteries that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, when Jesus came, he quoted that verse and told his disciples he was revealing secrets, mysteries that had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. Where did he quote that verse? In Matthew chapter 13. I believe it was 34. What was it? Let me read that, Matthew. Where he quoted that verse in the 13th chapter of Matthew about how he was going to reveal mysteries been kept secret since the foundation of the world. Verse 35, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret since the foundation of the world." Now, the disciples said, "Why, Lord?" He said, "Because it's given unto you to know, but to them it's not given." See, there's 8 great parables in this Bible. Got 8 great mysteries revealed by Jesus. I'm sure you've learned them all already, right? What? How much you study your Bible? This is a gold mine. I'm going to give that to you, your assignment. When you come back tomorrow, I want you to reveal some of those mysteries that's been kept secret since the foundation of the world that Jesus revealed. He revealed them. You see, you ever heard people say, "Man, that's like foolishness to me." See, why it's like foolishness to them? Because it's not given unto them to know, but to you it's given. So you can know. It's given unto you. All you got to do is a little work. Just a little rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, how do you rightly divide the word of truth? That's very important. Rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible, the gold mine, the standard of all things measured by, is not, I repeat, is not in chronological order. It does not come one after another. It's in subject order. And the subject is scattered from Genesis to Revelation. That requires study. What are we talking about? Take one subject, just one. So you don't take nothing out of context. You take one subject. Say, take belief, faith, love, hate, any subject you want to talk. And you start at Genesis and go to Revelation. Look up every reference to that subject. Every reference. Let them stand together. The sum total of those references establishes the correct scriptural doctrine of that subject. That is rightly dividing the word of truth. My goodness, how long will it take to do that? Look how, man, I read a chapter every day and I don't get through that Bible in a whole year. Well, that's the way we had to do it when I was in school. But now technology is greatly improved. They got these electronic Bibles. I got a little Bible in there that cost me, about $3? I got it in my briefcase right back there. And if I want to look up one subject, say faith, I just put faith in there and mash the button. Zoom. Brrr, and there it is. Every verse in the Bible listed that relates to faith. And I just took them all out, stacked them up, and I got the correct scriptural doctrine of that particular subject. If everybody would have done that, like the Bible. See, if all else fails, what does the book say? Read the manual. Read the manual if all else fails. That's what we should have done to begin with. We wouldn't have all these denominations that we got around here. We'd have the Church of Jesus Christ, the real Church of Jesus Christ, wouldn't we? If we'd have just studied and rightly divided the word of truth. All right. I saw that this war, how it was really conducted. And you know, after looking at all this, I'm still in love with this old piece of clay. I don't want to give it up, so I kept asking the angel, was God going to let me come back and say, they brought me in there and let me look at my body. My body was laying on that table, and doctors was working on it feverishly. And they had a machine that was pumping blood, and another that was pumping air, and they was running back and forth. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to get me. They couldn't get me. I was the other side of the veil. Flesh and blood can't cross the veil. I knew those machines could keep that body alive. But I didn't know how long they'd keep it alive. And I didn't want it to die. I'm still in love with it. I want to keep it. And I asked the angels, was God going to let me live? And they wouldn't answer me. And I kept pressing it. And finally they said, we'll take you before him. And you ask him. He'll tell you. But first we want you to see this place. I don't know if I have the book back there in which I describe this next scene, but I saw... Let's say it looked like, they brought me to this place, let's say it looks like a tunnel that runs right through the sky. The Bible in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 33, calls it the King's Highway. It's what I was looking at. It runs right through the sky. On either side of this highway, this brilliant highway, was the most beautiful flower garden. Flowers that defies any attempt to describe the beauty. Absolutely no way to describe the beauty of those flowers. Walking on that tunnel at first glance, on that highway at first glance, what appeared to be ordinary human beings. But as I looked at them closely, suddenly I realized they were not ordinary. They were super extraordinary. And I say to the angels escorting me, who are they? Well, he said, those are God's people going home. Glory to God, I'd always known the Bible had talked about a heavenly highway, but I had never perceived that as being a literal place. But there really is a heavenly highway where only the redeemed can walk. No foul or evil spirit permitted therein. You can read about it in the book of Isaiah. As I watched the saints walk the highway, three of the greatest truths of this Bible overwhelmed me. The first one was so staggering, I promise you, in your finite mind, you can't comprehend the truth. The only way you can know they're true, God said they were. I was in the Spirit. I was able to comprehend them as I looked at it. As I looked at those saints walking those highways, the first thing that dawned on me, hey, they don't have any age. They're not old. They're not young. They're not middle-aged. You don't have any age. Comprehend that. You can't do it. You never looked at anything that wasn't touched by time. There is no time in eternity. Hence, there is no age in eternity. It's exactly what the Bible says it is. It's a land where you'll never grow old. You think that's hard to comprehend? You ain't heard nothing yet. Wait till I tell this next one. Suddenly it dawned on me. They were neither male nor female. Wow. A lot of fellows have a hard time with this one. Jesus said, let's look at Luke chapter 20, verse 34. Jesus answered them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. For they are equal unto the angel. No marriage in heaven? And nobody said amen? I mean, get in a lot of trouble that way, don't we? Why? How? You know, I said, I can't believe it. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. You know, I've traveled around this globe three times. I've given this message sometimes as much as four times in one day. Never made a meeting I didn't find at least one Bible skeptic in. Probably won't have to go out of this room to find him, will I? But I'll tell you one thing I never found. A dictionary skeptic. You ever seen anybody challenge a single word in a dictionary? I mean, they accept all the words in the dictionary just like it's gospel, don't they? Suppose you could read in your dictionary why you wouldn't be married in heaven. Would you believe it if you could read it in your dictionary? You can. It's been in the dictionary all the time. That is, if you have an old Webster's Collegiate International or a Bible dictionary. But now if you've got one of these new political correct dictionaries, it won't be in there, you see. All you got to do is look up the definition of spirit. And you'll see that all spirits are sexless. Sex was given to the mortal body for the purpose of reproduction, not to the spirit. The spirit is sexless. The third and final truth that I discovered as I watched those saints walk the tunnel, I walked the highway, I couldn't tell what they had been in physical life. I couldn't tell if they had been black, white, or yellow, or red. Spirits are raceless. Just like it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The Bible has always said it, but we just couldn't comprehend it, could we? But it's true. I'll leave that with you and your conscience and God to discuss and decide whatever you want to decide. But as for me and mine, we better believe the Bible. You can believe what you want. But I gave you God's Word. And I stand before my God and be judged before Him again. And the day I'm judged the second time, if you belong to Him, you'll be a witness there against Him. I better be right, hadn't I? Glory to God. And I know I better be right. They took me then to the gates of the third heaven. Do you know our Bible refers to three heavens? There's no reference to a seventh heaven in our Bible. You know where they get that reference from? Jewish literature is where the seventh heaven is, but not in our Bible. We only have three heavens referred to in our Bible. The third heaven is God's throne room. The second heaven is the firmament, which is Satan's kingdom. Did you know Satan's not in hell? Read the Bible. He's the prince of the power of the air. All around, this is his world, second heaven. That means we're totally surrounded by the devil. Good news. He's surrounded by God, you see. That's the good news. When an angel leaves heaven to come to this earth, until Jesus became the first fruits of the dead, he had to pass through Satan's kingdom to get here. Now he can walk the king's highway because Jesus opened the king's highway. He became the first fruits of the dead. And he opened. So you can read in the 10th chapter of Daniel how much trouble it was for them to come through Satan's kingdom. The angels come in. Remember how God sent an angel to Daniel and it took him 21 days to fight his way through and he had to get the archangel to help him? 10th chapter of Daniel, you can read. They don't have to do that anymore. Now they come right through the highway where no foul and evil spirit is permitted, you see. That's reserved for God's people. Right there. Well, I arrived outside the gates of third heaven ready to go and plead my case. Angel said to me, if you go through those gates, you can't come out. You're going to have to stay till he brings you back. Wait a minute, I said. You told me I could ask him to extend my life. If I can't come out, that means my life is over. You can ask him, he said. Just don't go in. But first, think about this. We want you to see something you missed in that tunnel. We want to bring you back and let you look again. So they brought me back and let me look in the tunnel. I saw 50 saints being permitted to enter the gates of heaven. That's all I could see. I wasn't able to perceive what it was they wanted me to see. And he come and told me, we want you to be aware of the number of the saints going home. The insignificant number. And then they told me what I was looking at represented the sum total of God's harvest on the planet Earth. For August 3rd, 1979, it covered one 15-minute span of time. Approximate 15 minutes from the time the paramedic judged my body dead until it arrived at the hospital. In that 15 minutes, these 50 saints had died. They had not died. Their body had died. Their physical body died. And they came out and went home. They left the body. See, that's what's going to happen to you. As soon as that body dies, you free. You're going just like that. And you're not going by the way of the funeral home either. They'll never get you to the funeral home. They get that body there, but it won't get you there. You're gone before it gets there. If you belong to God. If you belong to God. Well, they showed that these 50 saints died in that 15 minutes. Their physical body did, and they went home. Bad news, they told me then. In that same 15 minutes, 1,950 more humans had also died worldwide. 50 out of 2,000 made it. 50 out of 2,000 is 2.5%. 97.5 didn't make it. And we've had 2,000 years to evangelize. And we've won 2.5% of the world. You know, if you work for the power company and you couldn't get more than 2.5% of the business, they'd fire you after the second payday. We've had 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And we've got 2.5%. Why? Because we hit a light. Our light don't shine. We look just like the dark to them people out there. You don't look no different. You know, when I was preaching, going to church, my neighbor across the street, he wasn't no different from me, except he waited till I got home before we went to play golf. There wasn't no difference there that the world could see. Jesus saw it. He knew what was going on. He was reserving a switch for me. He was going to get my attention. This is how you get attention. My grandpa told me that. He said, he plowed Missouri mule. They were the hardest working mules in the world. But they had one flaw. They were stubborn. And he said, first thing he did early every morning was get their attention. And once he got their attention, he kept it all day long. He said, how'd you do that, Grandpa? He said, I hit them between the eyes with a tube of four. And I had their attention all day then. God was about to hit me between the eyes with a tube of four. He was going to get my attention. I go back to the gates of the third heaven, ready to plead my case. No sound in all of heaven as I plead my case, standing before the gates of heaven. And then when I finished, only when I finished, God waited, let me plead all, just like Hezekiah. Hezekiah had a short prayer, but mine was longer when I stood outside that gate. I was getting worried. I didn't want to lose this old body. And then he answered me. He answered me in a voice that wasn't anything like the voice the devil had tried to deceive with me. The voice he answered me in is described in the book of John as a sound of thunder. It sounded like thunder as the voice came down over those gates. Before his words reached me, I was on my face, and all the weight of my life was on my back. As he proceeded to tell me who I was, not who I thought I was, I discovered those two people were not kin. I'm going to quote verbatim before the living God today, to the best of my ability, the words that he spoke to me in the first part of our conversation, of his conversation. I was silent in his conversation. And then I'll paraphrase the rest. And why I do this? Because I don't want to make a mistake. It said in Deuteronomy chapter 20, whoever speaks a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other God, even that person shall die, unquote. So I'm going to paraphrase. First, I'm going to quote verbatim the first part of what he said, because it was so staggering. Quote, your faith is dead. Your works are in vain. The life that you lived and offered to me as a life of Christian service is an abomination that I rejected in the Pharisees. What made you think I would accept such an offering from a Laodicean-type Christian? Untold millions are living the same kind of life that you lived, and they stand in danger of my everlasting wrath. Unquote, the living God. Who stands before us today? The living God. No, that's not me. That's not me. He's called me a little dusty end time Christian. Don't you know I'm a preacher? I'm a teacher. My works was in vain, he said. You did them for a false God. No, Lord, I didn't do them for a false God. I did them for you. I called you Lord every day. Yes, you call me Lord, but you never made me Lord. What a difference. To call him Lord gives him a title. To make him Lord promotes him to ruler of life. Who is your Lord? Lord, that's not me. I stood on the sidewalk and preached to the passerbyers. I went up to the jail and preached to the prisoners. Over to the hospital and prayed to the sick. I opened my home and I took children into my home. I was there when you preached on the sidewalk. I was there when you preached by the bedside. I was there when you preached to the prisoner in jail. I was there when you opened your home and took children into your home. I saw your works, all of them. They were good works. My works. My people offered me those works every day. But in your case, they're in vain because you didn't do them for me. You did them for a false God. And you know I'm a jealous God. You even preached that. But Lord, I didn't do them for a false God. I did them for you. I called you Lord every day. Yes, you called me Lord, but you never made me Lord. And then he named that false God. I couldn't see it. Instantly, I recognized it. Satan's number one selling false God. The one that you have more to fear than all the rest. You won't know. You won't fear him. You love him too much. You know he'll never hurt you. You know that. You're too much in love with him. Satan's number one selling false God. S-E-L. Lovely old self. Because self ruled in my life, Jesus Christ had no place. They took me away. Let me regain my composure. Brought me back and let me play it again. It was over. He never spoke to me in condemnation again, but in pity. I finally saw what they wanted me to see. I was pleading for the wrong life. I was pleading for a life that's going to dirt. It's going to die. But housed within was an immortal life. A life that would never end. A life that was precious to him. I heard my Father. He was hurting for me. God, who made all of this, was hurting for me. The least piece of clay on earth. And he was hurting for me. The one that would trade his own son for me while I was yet in sin. Who would do that to you? Who would do that to you? The one that would trade his own son for me. For you. Who would do that? Jesus. God. He gave me a 5-point message, church, only 3 minutes long. Let me tell you about this. My commission first. You know what your commission is. You're the church. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You he sent to the world. He wasn't going to send me back to the world. He sent you. If he'd sent me, I would be the only human on earth that had the authority to preach the gospel to the world. But he gave that authority to you. You are the church. And you have been sent to preach the gospel to the world. He said, I'm sending you to my church. It's going to sleep. It's going to sleep. Many people will come and hear you. A few will really listen. A few will really understand. To them I give the same chance I gave you. Those that hear. 5-point message. This is the Laodicean church age in which we live today. For the overwhelming majority of so-called Christians are just that, I'm sorry to report, so-called. Their mouth professing. And our heart possesses. And unless they wake up, he's going to spew them right out of his mouth. He said so. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. That's not a threat. That's a promise. If you don't hear him, you don't wake up. If you play in church, you're in trouble. Serious church. Serious trouble. He said he'll spew you. Come in a time, he'll spew you out of his mouth. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. If you go to church, please be real. Because in that letter to the Laodiceans, he said he's going to be more merciful to the out and out sinner that's never been inside of a church door. than it will be the hypocrite that sent other people to hell. If there's one soul in hell because you're a hypocrite, God will have mercy on your soul. That's exactly what he said. And he meant what he said. Point number two. We have an adversary. He is a powerful adversary whose ability to the church is grossly underestimated. And if you go to church today, tomorrow, any Sunday, anywhere, any church, you count the empty seats and see what kind of victory he's won. Because he's responsible for every empty seat in church. That one adversary. That one adversary. Don't underestimate him. But don't give him any fear and don't give him any love. Meet him on the field of battle and defeat him. If you ever expect to have any miraculous power of God pass through you, then you're going to have to live that life. Not talk it, but walk it. You've got to have credible witnesses to the people that know you behind the closed doors of your home, as well as the people. See, you can fool some people at church every Sunday because that's the only time they see you. But you're not going to fool the people you live with, you work with, you socialize with. You better be different from the world. That's what he said. When you have credibility in your own home, then you can call upon the name of Jesus and expect to hear from him. Yeah? Point number five. That was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What I'm saying to you, Genesis chapter 6 says, in the days of Noah, every thought of the imagination of man's heart was continually evil. He had but two priorities, wealth and pleasure. Wealth and pleasure. Wealth and pleasure. Right where we find ourselves today. Wealth and pleasure. You don't believe it? Sunday, you go to the National Football Stadium and see where the people are. If the football game's on, that's where they're at. If the sun's shining and the football game's not playing, they're at the fishing hole. But they ain't in church. They ain't in church. They're where their treasure is. Wealth and pleasure. Wealth and pleasure. Oh, you say, but look what it would cost me. What did the rich man say? Lord, what must I do to be saved? Sell all you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Oh, man, I can't do that. Look what it cost me. You're running a race, my friend. On one end of that race is an eternal crown or ever life. On the other end is eternal damnation. You've got to pay the price for that crown either way you go. Weigh them. What's the price you want to pay? You will pay. You will pay for the crown of life or the crown of damnation. It's going to cost you. You can pay in this life or get it on installment like planned in the life to come. But you will pay. See, if you walk the path he's laid out for you, he'll keep you on that path. If you stray away, he'll spank you. That's called correction. He does that only because he loves you. Lord, you said, look, I'm going through life and the day is beautiful walking and all of a sudden I'm down in this valley. What's the matter? Well, you said you'd be with me. You know what he said? Trust me, I'll get you there. Trust me, I'll get you there. Keep going, because it's going to come back up on the plateau again. You're going to have some level going on. You're going to have some... See, the devil is the one that pulls the footing out from under you. He tries to make it your price so much greater. Choice is yours. Would you stand with me a moment before we close? Jesus said in Matthew 12, and I'm quoting his verse, if you confess me before fellow man, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Confessing Jesus is good for us. I mean, that is your first step. Proverbs tell us you have the power of life and death in your tongue. Don't forget that. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. Let's speak life tonight. Let's speak life tonight. You want to confess Jesus before man? If you do, while I say this little prayer, just repeat it after me. And lift your hand to heaven if you really want to confess him. I mean, just to let everybody know that you know him. Suppose you're really being taunted by the devil. He's trying to put doubt in your mind. Are you really saved? Is your name really in that book? Did you really believe him? Have you obeyed him? Suppose that. Well, it never hurts to to tell the devil and everybody else whether or not you love Jesus. Just repeat your session. We're going to say a little, a twofold prayer here. We're going to say a sinner's prayer, and we're going to say a prayer of rededication. Let's rededicate our life, and let's say a sinner's prayer. Just like we started out the day God says, Father, I ask you tonight to save my soul. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Therefore, I stand on your word. According to your word, I have received the washing of that blood to set me free. Father, I know that some of us in this room had tried to play a game with you by trying to hide from you a portion of our private life. For this failure, I publicly repent tonight. I invite you in my life to be the Lord of all my life, every day of my life. Give me wisdom to detect the enemy and the grace to defeat him. Because you said it in your word, I believe it in my heart. And for this reason, I publicly make these commitments, trusting you for strength, for grace, for wisdom, to ever be able to keep them. Therefore, I pledge these in your lovely name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. See you in the morning, 6 o'clock for prayer meeting, 10 o'clock for the regular meeting. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.